Good evening, everybody. Father, we just thank you for all that you've already done and for the things that you're about to do. Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this place, and we do welcome you with open arms as you welcome us with open arms. Father, we ask right now that the angelic host comes in fully armed, prepared, and equipped, tearing down every wall, every boundary that has been built by the enemy to stop anyone from receiving the words that you would have spoken tonight. Father, we ask that the grounds be tilled and prepared to receive the seeds of your words, to bring a true understanding of how these boundaries will bring order into our lives, and to be able to release the inner pain and hurt and turmoil that goes on inside. Father, we just thank you and praise you for everything. Father, we thank you for your spirit that is completely moving upon the hearts already. And Father, we also ask you to lift any heaviness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that every heavy yoke is broken, every burden is being released. And Father, your anointing is resting upon each and every individual that is in this place. And we thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about setting boundaries in your relationships and in marriage. Those of you throughout this teaching, you know, you may not be married, but I want you to think really on different relationships that you have that this can apply. Really, you know, kind of think about it and how you react, how the others react to you, what is healthy and what is not healthy in those relationships. It is a healthy thing in life to put boundaries up in our relationships, whether it be business, family, friendships, or even in marriage. Boundaries are not put there to control a person, but to make them change. Boundaries are put there for protection and for guidance so that you have order in your life. Titus 1:8 says, rather he be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. When you have boundaries, you're able to apply this scripture of being self-controlled and disciplined when they are put in proper place. There are many ways you can become a victim. This is one reason why you need boundaries, and they need to be established and followed through with consistency. If you do not set up healthy boundaries for yourself, people will run all over you. If you will not manage your life, others will. God has even given us as his children boundaries. When we cross these boundaries, then there are consequences for our decisions of doing so. For example, God has given us boundaries such as the Ten Commandments, plus the extra two, and other standards that he expects as his children to follow and walk out. Right here is a picture of trying to explain that the round circle is God's boundaries, his words that he has given you to kind of contain you into one area. And the outside is Satan's playground, where Satan would have every bit of chance to destroy you, to try to keep you in his territory. But if you look at the area, it's not a confined little spot where the people can't move. You know, there's room to roam, to explore his word, to get into, you know, the things that he's called us to do, to learn. You know, he's not saying he's keeping you there in captivity. He's giving you a chance to roam, to explore the things of him. The ring is there to protect you from Satan being able to get in there and stop you from being able to know more of him and to explore more of him. The pastor of a church also gives us boundaries as sheep in their fold. It helps keep the structure of the church, but also there to protect us from the wolves of the world. There's many times where, you know, the pastor will say, you know, this is an issue, needs to be dealt with. And we may sit there and complain and come against the pastor saying that. But it was for the purpose of, we don't see what damage would happen if we did not correct that situation or that problem that is inside of us. They do that to protect us so that we can go into the calling. I read up on a shepherd's job because this piqued my curiosity a little bit. And we've always been told that, you know, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go for the one, even break its legs to bring it back. Now that's painful, but it brings them back into protection. A shepherd also will lead you from pasture to pasture in the seasons to make sure you continue to eat and to grow. They keep their flock intact, keeping them whole. You know, if they're sick, they bring them to health. They protect them from predators. You know, they allow God to show them this is where they're at. This is the kind of things that could come in and destroy them. A shepherd also guides them to be sheared to the marketplace. And there's times where a pastor has to put boundaries around you to guide you into that place, to remove all that wool, all that debris, you know, all that things that have collected on you, to bring you to a place where you can grow more, where you can get into, you know, that wool is hot in the summertime. And if they did not shed them from that wool, it would keep them from enjoying the summer, and it could also even cause them to die from the heat exposure. So I want you to really think about these boundaries that people are putting around us that you could possibly be fighting. Different things that, you know, the pastor's job really is, that we're looking at as they're pointing out our flaws. They're pointing out this, that, or the other, but really it's about protection. They have been instructed to put certain boundaries around us for a reason. And this continues on in different other areas of your life. In a business sense, the boss has rules and regulations that they use as their boundaries to keep their employees as well as their consumers safe and to keep their businesses prosperous. If you do not follow these boundaries and rules, then you suffer the consequences such as being fired, released, or something to that effect. Marriage is no different in having boundaries. They are to keep each spouse safe within the marriage so that it can become what God intended it, and to prevent the enemy from separating and dividing. Boundaries are necessary and important. Boundaries are there for growth. They keep the structure in order that brings balance and productivity in a person's life and in relationship. We are going to particularly look at it in a marriage point of view, but it can be used in other areas and relationships as well, as I have stated earlier. Maybe some of you are a daughter and you need to look at how your father or mother, you know, has treated you, and there needs to be boundaries, or there could be unhealthy boundaries there that need to be torn down. You know, maybe you have a best friend that God's been dealing with you that you need to reevaluate what boundaries are there, what to look for, how to tear them down. Just think about different things that God lays on your heart as this message comes across. For those of you who are not married and you're wanting to become married, one of the things you need to understand is how important it is to have boundaries in your relationship prior to marriage, and for you to know personally different boundaries that you want in your marriage and it is not to be crossed. For example, when Brett and I were first dating and talking, we sat down and we did talk about different boundaries that we had prior to the marriage. Because God had called it, we wanted to make sure we did it exactly the way God wanted it. With that, we had agreed that we were not going to have any sexual relations prior to the marriage, following God's word. Because that we followed that, we were able to not fall into any type of consequences that God would not want us to go through due to disobedience. However, there was a boundary that we had made due to what God had asked us to do, and that was to get completely set free prior to marriage. We compromised on that boundary and got married too soon due to one reason or another. And because of that, we had to go through different unnecessary consequences. We had to endure much hurt, heartache, which would not have happened if we would have remained in that boundary that God was trying to put in there. If we would have just stuck to our decision, we would have went into the marriage with less baggage, and we would not have had to work through things that would have God already wanted to have removed. So because of that, and a result of learning that particular lesson, we continuously encourage people, before you get married, please get set free. It is a consequence you do not want to have to live through. There are basic boundaries in every marriage that you should follow in the Word of God, such as not having sex before marriage, you know, such as, you know, making sure that you both have the same beliefs, getting to know one another. But also, every marriage is different and may need different boundaries along with it, such as your personalities, you know, different callings. You know, find out and ask God, what boundaries do we need to put up prior to marriage and after marriage? There is no cut and paste. However, it is important that whatever boundaries you set, they are consistent and consequences are served if they are crossed over. You need to make sure that, like with a child, if you constantly keep threatening them and putting a boundary there, but you do not keep that boundary, you know, you keep letting them cross over and cross over and cross over, they're no longer going to believe you that that boundary is there. The same thing can happen in a marriage. Like it was mentioned earlier, boundaries are set up for protection and security for a healthy and productive relationship. Boundaries are not meant to control a person or try to fix, change, or punish a person. If you are considering boundaries for that person, you need to stop right there. The boundaries you set may be a tool God wants to use in helping your spouse or person become willing to change, but that is not up to you. Boundaries is an action you can either take or refuse to take, whether you communicate it or not. Boundaries can be shown through an action or a response. For example, if you screen your calls before you're answering them, you're taking an action to not answer the phone. If instead, you know, you tell this friend and that friend and the other friend, do not call me, do not call me, and then you pick up the phone and yell at them, why did you call me? You're expecting them to line up with your boundaries, but the truth is you overstepped that boundary by answering the phone. You can only control what you have the means to control. You know, it's up to that person whether or not they respected your boundaries, but you yourself cannot cross over into them. Boundaries are about controlling what you do. They are not about controlling the other people's behavior. Too many times we come to an expectation that if we do something, that we should automatically get the desired results. This is simply not the case. For example, it wouldn't make much sense in reality that if I set a boundary to not eat an extra piece of cake that night, that I would immediately lose 20 pounds. You need to have a reasonable understanding on what to expect from your boundaries. Our bodies have a job to do, and we have to continue to set the boundaries if, you know, our goal is to lose weight, let's just say, of how to get to that place and stick with it. Follow what kind of foods that, you know, we are putting in our body, and then to get to the desired result. And in marriage and in your relationships, you have to do the same thing. We set boundaries, but we cannot expect that instant change. We have to stick at what is working on keeping the boundary and praying for our spouse to change, or the person that God has laid on your heart needs to change. The initial change of themselves is based upon their decision made. The only change you can make is within yourself. Boundaries are one of the most poorly understood aspects of a healthy relationship. Many people think that using boundaries in a marriage means telling our spouse what we don't like, or if it's something that we try to get others to do. Telling people what we do not like is not a boundary. It is actually complaining and rarely results in improvement. Trying to get another person to do or not to do is being controlling. Usually, that only creates power struggles. Boundaries, on the other hand, are us taking responsibility for change. Because there is no attempt to control the other person, power struggles are avoided. Boundaries give you the power over your decisions, while your spouse still remains the power over his or her own decisions. I want to draw your attention to the picture where the umbrella itself represents the boundary. Think about it, God putting a covering over you and saying, this is your boundary and I want you to stay underneath of it. The rain represents the problems, the circumstances, situations in life. You know, the decisions your spouse is making, the decision your boss is making, the decision that the people around you are making. All right, all that's still happening. It's all going to affect you. But whether or not it touches you internally, it's up to you whether or not you keep your boundaries. If you have no boundaries, you'll leave drenched in everything that's going on around about you. Completely saturated. Yes, you can suffer the consequences of your spouse's behavior due to their decisions. But that does not stop a person from making a decision to change themselves. For example, a wife cannot say to a husband, you cannot speak to me that way. It is a demand. It's a demand that can't be enforced. I mean, you could try to gag them and try to stop them in that sort of way, but that really still won't stop what they feel, what they think, or how to say. I mean, just going drastic here, you know, for those that are kind of logical and try to break this down. But instead, what you could say is set the boundary on yourself by saying, if you speak to me that way, I will walk out of the room. This is a threat that is totally enforceable because it has to do with something you can do. You can remove yourself. You have control over yourself. The process always begins with taking responsibility on your own part of the problem. Self-control serves love, not selfishness. So all this starts with your heart. The way you can set up appropriate boundaries is within your own heart is clear. For that, you need to understand at least some of God's perspectives on your marriage. You do that by spending some serious time seeking His perspectives. You have to go past all that hurt, all that pain, all that woundiness, things that may be from, that it's not even from the people that you're trying to put the boundary on. It might just be something you've collected from the past. You've got to get all that stuff cleansed out, because if not, that stops your perception from seeing the healthy boundary that needs to be put up. You have to make sure you're not responding out of desperation. Instead, you're responding out of love, out of common sense, out of knowledge that God has given you. You cannot do this right, setting the boundaries, with a heart full of bitterness and spite. You may feel very hurt, and that is why you need to set the boundaries. But you need to deal with the infection of bitterness first as much as possible. Like Reverend Elaine said earlier, you know, Pastor Barbara has been, you know, really suggesting us to soak and listen to the Katie Sousa teachings. We need to digest the things that God has placed in her to, and Pastor Barbara that has been giving us over the pulpit. We need to really deep in to worship, spending that personal time with God, seeking deliverance, seeking inner healing. So that way we can have that heart that's clear to be able to put up those boundaries that need to be put up so that we're not seeping in bitterness. We're not lashing out through a wound or a pain. Because when the world comes in, we're going to have these boundaries put up, not to where we won't let them in as people, but our woundiness won't come out and destroy them. In dealing with your own heart, you may very well see areas where you can, could, or should have done things differently. That is a whole separate issue from setting boundaries. That is realizing changes you need to make within yourself. For example, if you could have been more aware of your spouse's sexual desire, their pornography use is not about you. Your spouse's anger or substance abuse is not about how you didn't meet their needs. Yes, the Holy Spirit is undoubtedly having things he needs to work on with you, but it is not boundaries, but that is not what boundaries are about. Boundaries are setting up protection and security, not domination or blame. If you aren't in control of yourself, the situation is not learning how to control someone else. The solution is learning self-control, one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. You cannot make someone else grow by trying to control them. It is more about taking ownership of your own life so that you're protected and you can love and protect your spouse without enabling or rescuing them. You do this by placing correct boundaries. Like I said earlier, you don't want to put up the boundaries where you're keeping the person out, just their destructive behavior. And so that you don't participate in that destructive behavior. For example, withholding money from your wife because she is withholding sex from you is not a healthy boundary. This kind of dysfunction needs communication, not manipulation. However, requiring the internet blocking software, such as Covenant Eyes, which is something that you put on your computer that filters through different things that comes up on your computer that would block them from being able to do that type of pornography, you know, look at things that they should not look at in your home, on all your family's devices would be an appropriate boundary. If your spouse has been using pornography, this protects your body and or your heart from your spouse's destructive behavior. It also protects your family, your children, anyone that would come in to happen to borrow your computer. It also saves, you know, that person from being able to deal with things, you know, the way God wants them dealt with. Setting boundaries with your spouse is not for the purpose of punishing them. If you're trying to get revenge for how your spouse is hurting you, this is an issue for forgiveness, not boundaries. Through forgiveness, you give up your right to revenge. But if your spouse is still acting out badly, you need to protect yourself from further harm. You need to both forgive and set the boundaries. Matthew 18:21-22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Just a little word of advice. Forgive without conditions or requirements. The Bible does not say forgive and get. It says to forgive and forgive and forgive. Even if you do not get anything in return, that is exactly just like love. Your boundaries may feel like punishment to your spouse, but this is not the deciding factor. What is important in that boundary is necessary to protect you from getting hurt going forward. In a marriage of 2 broken people, they will wound each other, and just about everyone has experienced some type of woundiness. If it is small stuff, let it go. Don't let that small stuff fester and fester to become a bigger problem. Be quick to let the small things go. It's not trivial to hold on to every little detail. And God will let you know if it is something that is huge that would cause more destruction. But if ongoing destructive behavior continues to happen, stricter boundaries are necessary. You need to protective boundaries that you can put up when an evil is present or the spouse is acting out, or when danger is over, the boundaries can be changed. Be aware that just putting up stricter boundaries, you also have to be seeking God's face when to expand the boundaries after constant change has taken place. Boundaries is necessary, and when growth needs to take place, the boundaries with the guidelines are the word of God. Even Abraham had shown himself worthy enough to receive more and growth that God told him to extend his tent pegs to receive it. We have to be willing to do the same and do the same for ourselves in our walk with God. Where you see the smaller tent, there's times that we have boundaries that we've actually outgrown those boundaries. But like God told Abraham, once he was ready to receive, not that he already had it right there to hand it to him, but for him to receive, he told him to enlarge the tent of, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, which is Isaiah 54:2. You're doing that so that way growth can take place. You've already learned how to live within your boundaries. So now God can trust you more to put more into your bosom. The same thing is in a relationship. If you contain a relationship to where that person can't grow, you're actually hindering them from furthering on in their personality, into their character, into their walk with God, even into their freedom. You have to be able to be willing to forgive and expand. But if the destructive behavior continues, you also have to be willing to constrict those boundaries, which means you may even have to separate yourself for a season if that is what God has asked you to do. You have to have discernment, and you have to be willing to be obedient to exactly what God tells you to do and what is necessary. A lot of us get in trouble when we put our two cents into it or our own understanding and try to fix it. We need to realize when we set these boundaries, the reason why they're there, and to keep them. But what if God doesn't heal the marriage? There is some things to know about setting boundaries when your spouse is continuing to engage in destructive behavior. When people grow in character, they grow in the ability to set and receive boundaries in their marriage, and they mature. When they resist hearing the word no, they remain immature. Where there is no freedom, there is slavery. Where there is slavery, there will be rebellion. Also, there is no responsibility, there is bondage. Where we do not take ownership and do what we're supposed to do with our own stuff, we will be stuck at a certain level of the relationship and we will not go any further. Love can only exist where freedom and responsibility are operating. Love creates more freedom that leads to more responsibility, which leads to more and more ability to love. There are times that God doesn't just instantly heal a marriage. You can do all the right things and follow God with all your heart and do exactly what he tells you to do. But it will not guarantee you that you will get the outcome you're looking for. Your spouse has his own or her own will to make their own decisions. If your spouse is being abusive or threatening, then by all means use boundaries first. If your spouse is cheating on you, then boundaries are needed to be used as soon as you discover the affair. The reason that boundaries must be used first in these situations is because your spouse knows he or she is being disrespectful and damaging the marriage. You do not have to convince them or persuade them that they are doing anything wrong or that it is wrong. When your spouse is doing something that you don't like, but not immediately threatening or damaging, for example, overspending, forgetting, showing up late, boundaries should not be used first. Instead, loving communication should be used first. Loving communication is not criticizing or complaining. Those are not loving. Loving communication is telling your spouse what you want and why it is important to the both of you. For example, honey, would you make a budget with me so that we can make sure we have enough money to do some really fun things together? This is for somebody that might have a spending issue. If such loving communication fails, you can become more assertive but factual rather than attacking, such like, we need to make a budget and keep our expenses down, or the stress from our debt will start to hurt our relationship. If this level of communication also fails, then the next step is to communicate your boundary, but in a loving way. Honey, I love you, but I don't want debt to tear apart our relationship. That is why I've decided that if you keep spending past our budget, I'm going to put our income in a separate account. Then I will pay my share of the bills and decide by myself how to control the rest. After stating your boundaries, no matter what it is for, you never want to argue about it, and you always want to keep it, unless you sit and revisit the issue and have decided that it needs to be revised. We also need to understand that boundaries can make your spouse or the other person mad that you're putting the boundaries on. But those boundaries can actually save your marriage, save your relationship. Whether you communicate your boundary or just go ahead and do it, it will make the other person angry. Secured people understand this and can tolerate such short-term anger for the sake of improving their relationship. Insecure or needy people, however, will try to prevent their spouse from becoming angry by not using boundaries. If you do not use boundaries in your marriage, or you wait too long to use the boundaries, your marriage will be at that point where your spouse really doesn't care what you do. Such a reaction from your spouse is not an indication you are wrong to use a boundary. It is an indication that you waited too long to begin to use that boundary, and you probably use criticism, complaining, or you shut down instead. Whenever your spouse is doing that is hurting you, the benefits received may far outweigh your appeals and requests. At that point, you need to set consequences. A consequence is an effect or result of another act. You need to establish some consequences for your spouse's transgression so that he will experience such discomfort for his irresponsibility. A consequence has several but very important characteristics. Number one, designed to help with reality and protect you, not to design to control or change your spouse. Number two, deliberate and not impulsive or set in anger. Number three, a reality based as possible. The consequence has to relate to the situation and not be too far fetched or not strict enough. Which is number four, you know, appropriately severe. Number five, it needs to be enforceable. Number six, it needs to be able to be preservation of your spouse's freedom. You need to be able to, your spouse needs to be able to become free, you know, with those boundaries. As immediate as possible. You can't set boundaries a month after a situation has taken place and expect it to be as effective as when that situation had initially happened. This goes for children as well. It is more effective on a child when you correct them and put that boundary around them immediately than waiting next week when you're only doing it most likely out of frustration or anger or something has welled that up from another situation and pile on extra consequences, you know, from a boundary that you set, but you allowed that child to go over it. Number 8, you need to be respectful of his role or her role as a spouse. Number 9, you need to design, it needs to be designed to be modified as your spouse changes. However, be sure that change has truly occurred over some period of time. I am sorry is not enough to let go of the consequences. Also remember that if they have not gotten better, you may need to increase the consequences of the behavior. Let's clear something up here. Setting boundaries because your spouse doesn't cook the kind of food you enjoy, forget your anniversary, or desire sex at a different frequency than you do is not what we're talking about. If your spouse gets angry and verbally violent, a boundary might be, when you become angry, I'm going to leave the room until it is safe to return. If your spouse is acting out sexually, a boundary might be, I will work with you on restoring our relationship, but I will not have sex with you until this is dealt with. It is not about controlling your spouse. It is about protecting your mind, your heart, and your body from further harm. If there is persistent, serious, destructive behavior, substance abuse, physical or verbal abuse, obtaining sexual gratification through pornography or an affair, and so on, a stricter boundaries must be set. Your spouse is not abusing you because they do not meet your wants and desires. It is a form of abuse if your spouse is not willing to meet your needs, but is able to do so. It is also a form of abuse when your spouse is actively seeking to harm you. Addictions, fidelity, or gross harm or neglect is where serious boundaries must come in. Abuse does not have to come in through physical contact. It can come in through words and behaviors that cause you internal wounds as well. Another thing you need to really understand is these boundaries are to protect yourself, but it's also to protect your children and how important it is and how your children look up to you to do that. Even with all that goes on, you must keep seeking God's perspective. No one but He can tell you what is enough. Sometimes God releases you from a marriage if your spouse's vote is persistently preventing God from doing a restoration He wants to do. God may also use you very boundary setting as a means to get through to your spouse's heart so that He can do what He wanted to do all along. That's His department. In the meantime, stay on your knees. Remain alert to how God may be working in your marriage. Keep your own heart soft before Him, even if you need to protect it from your spouse's behavior. We also need to understand that boundaries are not enough. Boundaries in a marriage and relationships always have to be counterbalanced with a lot of love. Just as giving, giving, and giving can destroy relationships, so can boundaries and boundaries and boundaries. When a couple comes in for help that has had an affair, it is important to help them put strong boundaries and an equal amount of love. When you help a married couple with one of them is critical, complaining, and controlling, you may want to guide them by putting up good boundaries as well as teach them several ways to show their spouse love is the key. Love must be tough, but most of all, it must be loving. So what if it still fails? The truth is, sometimes all you got is not enough. Sometimes God can't fix it. Sometimes all your tears and work and prayers and love falls flat and your marriage fails anyway. Before you get upset at even God can't fix it, please hear me out. There are many people who have experienced or experienced failed marriages. It is times like this that grief, pain, guilt, shame, confusion, relief, and so many other emotions are raging and at their peak. Too many times people paint a pretty picture of marriage and make working on the problem seem so simple, but the truth is marriage really is work. It is no failure on God's part that some marriages cannot be saved. No one is perfect, and if you are experiencing this, let your heart be open to see the areas you went wrong and understand that your spouse had a part to play in this area as well. The straight truth is you nor God can make the choice for your spouse. God can restore anyone or anything if a person's heart involved gives him the permission to do so. But sometimes God is not given that opportunity to do so. God did not want robots worshiping him. He wants people around him who freely offer him their love and worship. So he gave us free will. God could not save one third of the angels in heaven from rebellion and destruction. He cannot save people who persistently and with full knowledge refuse his offer of salvation. He cannot have your marriage if your spouse or you persistently refuse to allow him to do what only he can do. If your spouse's heart is closed, it may be the end. God only has the answer on how long to stay and what he is requiring you to endure to give your spouse a chance. That is why it's so important for you to listen to God's voice and to put the boundaries up that is necessary. God hates divorce because it hurts his children. The end of a marriage will cause ripping and tearing, loss and grief. You are separating those that have been joined as one in half. You will not be the same, but through God's love, you can be healed. Your failed marriage will then become a part of your testimony that can save someone else before it's too late. But church, there's a part that we need to be doing with this as well. The church has often done a poor job of walking with those who are going through the end of a failing marriage and its aftermath. Some have used different things such as prayer and deliverance as weapons instead of tools of transformation. As real as trauma and pain is, God has a way of taking our brokenness and turning it into bread whereby others can be fed. God will not leave you after the marriage ends, but to be there to heal, transform, and use you if you give him the opportunity. Guilt is never a reason to stay in a marriage. Unhappiness is never a reason to leave. Your decisions will have permanent consequences, and if there is ever a time you need to hear God's voice, it is now. Spend time in God's presence. Lay everything down before him, the tears, the trauma, the confusion, the hurt, the grief, the desires, the hope, the hopelessness, and anything else that wells up. Ask God to give you wisdom on how to set appropriate boundaries in your life in all areas of relationships so that you can walk out God's plan for your life. God does not leave you alone. And the church really needs to step up and be that Jesus that the person needs at that time. And you just open your arms and allow that person just to fall in your arms and cry may be exactly what they need. They need to feel Jesus's love through you. I've been studying on something and it came across where people are always trying to fill voids. They're always trying to find something. Let me take Sister Nancy and fill this void, and let me take Pastor Barbara and fill this void. But we don't stop and ask God, who's supposed to fill this void? There's things that my husband can fill inside of me that God wants to use him to fill inside of me that I can't get from Pastor Barbara. There's things that Pastor Barbara, God's using her to fill in me that my husband cannot give me. But if I'm seeking the wrong source that God has ordained to help in that area, you'll continue to keep seeking. You'll be pulling on somebody and then blaming them for something that is not their fault. There's another reason why you need to have boundaries, to understand this boundary is because there's the relationship there that God has interconnected those two people for a reason. Where their weaknesses and strengths will be a strength and will give more into the kingdom of God instead of their weaknesses fighting against each other. You know, it's like if you put a cat and a dog in the same area without prayer, and that dog is extremely hyper and the cat has been an outside cat, there's a guarantee of fight. You know, you're putting two things in a boundary that is not going to clash. It's the same thing when God would not put two personalities that would destroy one another in a group. Now, he will put opposites in a group to help smooth each other out, but not to destruction, but to perfection. So I want you to understand that too. You know, there's all different types of things where these boundaries can come in. But ask yourself, the boundaries you already have set, are they fulfilling the purpose that they've been set there for? Are they filling in those areas that God wants filled so that you can be whole and productive in what he's calling you forth to do? If you're pulling on your spouse and bringing them over into a boundary of another area, you're draining that spouse. You're expecting too much out of that spouse to fulfill a role that they're never going to fulfill. This leads more brokenness in a marriage instead of wholeness. That's why it's very, very important. Understand where your boundaries are. Understand where they need to be. And make sure they're healthy. If God guides you to stay in a marriage, you will find the strength to do so. If he releases you from it, you will feel totally free. If you know someone who is going through a failed marriage, please be Christ to them. Although you can't fix it, you can be there. You can be the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ to them that may not be able to hear God any other way. You cannot carry their pain, but you can ease the burden. You can lend your faith as support. You can listen. You can cry with them. And you can be with them. You can keep being there with them for as long as it takes. For those who are looking for a way to strengthen their marriage, while you are placing boundaries in your marriage, there are 12 simple ways. 1, commit to work continuously on improving your marriage. Don't just do it for a day. Don't do it for a couple weeks and say, you know, well, it failed. Be consistent. Ask God. Ask him for a timeline. And if he doesn't give you one, keep working until God says, all right, I'm drawing the line. Enough is enough. Pray together every day. I cannot stress, even if it's not a spouse, you know, you're a mother and you have children, sit and pray with your children every day. Even if it's only for a few minutes each day, something happens when a husband and wife prays and talks to God. But also it brings unity in if you're a single parent and you have a child at home. If you sit and you pray with them, it brings a bond. It teaches that child to trust God. It teaches God to communicate. And it shows that child your relationship with Christ. But you must also keep that boundary there that if you no longer are a single parent and you become married, that you're able to separate yourself, not to stop praying with the child, but to dedicate more time to pray with your spouse. It's all about balance. 3, have a genuine conversation every day. Talk together each day and not just about work or kids. 4, knowing each other's love language. Love means doing what is best for others and not for self. There are some things that I feel love when given to me that Brett does not feel given to him. There's things that he needs to feel, you know, that love that I would not understand. That's why you need to understand, how does your spouse receive love? What touches their heart? If you think about, you know, our relationships with God, there's different things we touch Jesus's heart on. There's different things we touch God's heart on because it's part of our personality. It's no different with our spouse, with our children, with, you know, different partners that we have in our life's life cycles. Number 5, plan one way each week to show your spouse how much he or she matters. Just doing something that says, I'm thinking of you and I love you. Number 6, date regularly. Whether it's once a month, once a week, make the time and keep it. Most of us need a calendar to calendar this plan, but that's okay. Book a date and prioritize it. Number 7, avoid blame. Blame was started in the Garden of Eden and it is still happening. Some of us blame our spouses rather than taking responsibility for our own wrong attitudes and actions. And that approach seldomly promotes the renewal and reconciliation that most marriages need at some point. Number 8, go to a good church together. There's nothing like sharing God's grace and love to strengthen a marriage. Boundaries are for the protection and freedom of each person. How strict your boundaries are depends on the decisions you make. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your relationships. Be consistent in your boundaries and let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. It is not over until God says it's over. And be there for those who have to face that it's over. We need to have the attitude of Christ and show them love. I really hope that through this you understand boundaries are extremely important. And maybe the reason why some of us have gotten hurt is because we were too passive. We didn't allow the boundaries to be up where they need to be. Some of us could be hurt because we have boundaries up so much that they're walls. They won't even allow the people in. They've kept out the destructive behavior, but also the person to where we cannot show them the proper love. We have isolated ourselves. When I was praying earlier, I heard that some people have built walls instead of boundaries to hide due to hurt. And there's some of you in here that need that deep inner healing. Some of you have built these walls that also keep people out instead of just their destructive behavior. Some of you are struggling respecting boundaries. Some of you need boldness to set the boundaries and reinforce them. Some of you do not have any boundaries and just receive people's junk and welcome just being a victim. It's become so known to you, it's become normal to you, it's become comforting to you that you can't even get out of it. But with God's help, you can, by setting these boundaries. Some of you need to tear down ungodly boundaries that have become walls and has caused you to be separated from God. And God wants to touch each and every one of those areas. God wants to impart discernment on how to reset the boundaries in your lives. He wants you to do this past the wounds, past the hurt, past the fear, and even past the compassion. Some people do not stick to their boundaries and compromise because they become over-compassionate. They're always reaching out, one more chance, one more chance, one more chance, and we argue with God and not accept the fact. When he says it's over, it's over. Then we open ourselves up to all kinds of junk. Allow God to give you the discernment that will stop you from hindering your own growth and unnecessary pain, and allow the new boundaries to be placed that will bring growth and strength, the protection as God brings you back into his boundaries. So, Father, we thank you that as the altar is being open for you to pour this discernment upon your people, we just thank you for all the words that you've spoken. We thank you that you are already entangling, removing all the entangles in the mind of where we have been taught how to place boundaries that were not healthy. Father, we ask you to remove all the pain and the hurt and the torment that is within the hearts, that we are not able to perceive the boundaries properly. Father, we ask you to remove any passivity that causes us to be afraid of what people will think or feel or respond to us as we place these boundaries up. Father, we just thank you for that anointing. We give you all honor and glory. We thank you that you are placing discernment upon your people. And the altar is open to receive that discernment and to also allow the walls to be broken down where boundaries just need to be.